church and happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading will be taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith.
I just want to welcome our speaker this morning. Dustin Cook is on the faculty of South Lancaster Academy, and I only got to know of him when my son moved to the academy. And he come home, Dad, Mr. Cook is killing us. I said, what happened? We're doing cardiovascular training. What are you doing? The beep test. You have to go a certain distance and of timing, and then I think you decrease the timing, so you have to go faster and faster. And he goes, he's killing us. So I said, we have a long driveway. Why don't you practice at home? Who wants to practice at home? You want to just be able to go to school, do the beep test, and even my daughter says now, so, oh, it's not an easy test. It's not an easy test. But he's been at school for several years. His wife is the associate pastor of the college church. And he spoke last October. And one of my friends told me, so I asked him to speak, and he was slow to accept, but he's here now. So I welcome Dustin Cook to the Worcester Church.
You want to know what I hear? Clock ticking. Time waits for no one. Life goes by. It goes by quick. Don't waste these years. Live them. Back away from the negative. Don't let silence settle in. Step up and fight. Don't compromise. Don't wait. Don't back off. Rise up and fight. If this sounds a little bit aggressive, let me tell you why, and maybe you'll join in with me. The story I'm about to share is not about me, as many of you will perceive it to be. It's about my Jesus and the life I now live because of him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Please speak through me and help people to hear you and not myself. Please give us your words and help us to grow and be better Christians because of them. We love you. Amen. My wife and I, we were in the midst of living our dream life. We had moved to Hong Kong, and I vividly remember sitting at the kitchen table. We had a big window overlooking the South China Sea. And I was looking through a travel guide for going to Beijing. We were trying to decide how to pack as much as possible into our soon departure north. Because of the excitement of the adventure ahead, it was difficult to sleep that night. Or maybe it was because of the amount of sugar I'd consumed at the Christmas party just hours before. Whatever the case, I was laying in bed with a headache that no amount of medication could take away. As the sun slowly began to climb the next morning, the intensity of my headache became so severe that I had no choice but to go to the local hospital. In my mind, I was there to get a stronger medication so I could continue packing, pick up my cousin from the airport who was on his way to join us and on the adventure. The unfortunate continued lack of success with conventional medication prompted a CAT scan. I'm not sure if the limited information that I was receiving was from the language barrier or if they were not sure how to tell me about the large mass in the right side of my brain. But the ambulance ride to the larger, more equipped hospital quickly put things into perspective for me. I was placed in an overcrowded room packed full of people who were unable to speak and drooling on themselves. I went in for an MRI and was told that I needed to quickly go into emergency brain surgery. After 12 hours of waiting and some advice from local friends, I transferred to the Hong Kong Adventist Hospital, where I was met by Dr. Fan. Dr. Fan thought it was going to be about a four-hour surgery to remove the tumor. During what turned into an eight-hour surgery, my cousin, who had come to join an adventure, now became support for my wife and I. The surgery turned out better than expected, considering there was no visual distinction between tumor and brain tissue. Dr. Fan used ultrasound to measure the density of the tissue as he cut the best he could without cutting too much and causing more harm than good. I left the hospital knowing that at some point in the future I would be back. I tried to keep living life the best I could, but along the way gave up on some dreams that either no longer felt important, realistic, or just impossible. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. There are some things in life that are out of our control, and we have to make a choice. Are you going to give up? Are you going to believe the people that tell you it's the end? Or will you make the hard but extremely important choice to live your life? Someday, my life, like all of yours, will end. And at times, I forget to believe that life can be more than the current situation. We need real Christians around us to encourage us, to support us, and to be with us when we are down. Romans 15:1 says, "Together, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status." I've had people in my life reach in and pull me out of my own self-doubt and help me see what is still there. As you can see in the audience, my beautiful twin girls were 18 months old, and this made going to brain surgery number two much more difficult than the first time around. I was desperate not to leave them fatherless and my wife alone to care for them. The glioblastoma tumor had morphed into a more aggressive high-level cancer with a median survival time of 15 to 16 months. With no data past 7 years of people surviving. I had a very difficult time trusting that there was any way hope could be possible. And honestly, hope never really came. But something else that I needed much more came like a wave that washed the fear away and left peace in its wake. I knew that even if I did not survive the night, my family would be okay. That peace allowed me the ability to smile, hug my family on the way to the operating room without fear of the outcome. After a very, very long surgery, followed by simultaneous chemotherapy and radiation, recovery proved to be a bigger challenge than the first time around. I struggled to relearn how to do the simple things in life, like walking or even going to the bathroom. My physical therapist sister spent many hours making me do things that I'm not sure I could have done prior to surgery. If any of you guys have ever been to physical therapy, you know what I'm talking about. But with a lot of work and maybe some crosswords came growth, stability, and strength. Even though walking a few hundred feet felt like a huge accomplishment at the time, my ever-optimistic wife would not let me stop there. She started talking to me about how fun it would be to do something called a mud run. I thought it would be fun for her to do, but not something I would ever do. Then she found it. Something called a Tough Mudder, a 12-mile obstacle course up and down Mount Snow, Vermont. She registered me and any others we could convince to join us. I looked at the course and honestly had no idea if I would finish it. The training was hard. The walking slowly built into running 5Ks. The running slowly turned into sprints up sandy hills with push-ups and burpees thrown in for fun. We worked hard, but with that work, we were able to achieve our goal. Because I have been fortunate enough to have people in my life help me through the hard times, it is now my responsibility to reach out and do the same for others that are still in the midst of their fight. There are people who find healing in your wounds. Your greatest life message and possibly your most effective service will come out of your deepest hurts. We are products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it. A Facebook post said it well. I love when people who have been through hell walk out of the flames carrying buckets of water for those still consumed by the fire. Do you have people in your life who need you? If your answer is no, look again, and then again, until you find them. The need may be small or complex, physical or emotional. Help moving something, or just a word of encouragement. Use your strength to help them. Just a little effort could change the direction of their life. Stop giving constructive criticism and lend a hand instead. Brain surgery number 3 was not as significant as brain surgeries can be. And thankfully, it was not nearly as difficult to recover from. I had started riding my old bike again. At the beginning, just a few miles was a lot of work, but with time, it got easier. Some friends that go west to Moab for a mountain bike weekend insisted that I go with them. This initial and now annual mountain bike trip has proven to be a memorable turning point in how I view the potential of my life. It gave me hope that I could truly live again and not just fight to stay alive. It started a fast growing snowball inside of me that has not slowed. I feel better and healthier and more alive than I have in many years. Not every day is good, but after a bad day or two, I still hold on to the hope that the next will be better. So I get on my bike and I go for a ride so that when the good days are here, I am ready. I have been blessed with people in my life that with hugs at church or epic days on bikes have helped me keep that feeling alive in my life. If you are strong, reach down and lift up the ones next to you who are struggling so they can regain their strength and do the same for someone else. The earlier you get back into the fight and get back on track, the better your life will be. You will be stronger, healthier, and happier. Don't want to fight? Fight anyway. Don't want to get out of bed? Get out of bed anyway. Don't be afraid to dream, but remember that dreams without goals are just dreams and ultimately fuel disappointment. Have dreams, but have goals. Life goals, yearly goals, monthly goals, weekly goals, and yes, daily goals. They can be simple or difficult, but have goals. Understand that to achieve these goals, you must have discipline and consistency. It will take work, and you have to have a plan. So write it down. We have all heard the saying, if we fail to plan, we fail. That's right. You have heard it. Hard work works. We try to do everything the easy way, most efficient, with less time involved. Whatever requires less energy, we are always busy, but just because we're doing a lot, unfortunately, does not mean we're getting a lot done. Don't confuse movement with progress. You can run in place and never get anywhere. Continue to get up, to work, and to progress. If you use your experience to reach out and help pull up the people around you who are sinking. Experience is not just what happens to you. It is what you do with what happens to you. Don't waste your pain. Use it to help others and to motivate the people around you to get back up and keep fighting. We all have different talents. Some of you are or will be doctors, mechanics, musicians, teachers, artists, accountants, or pastors. Whatever your gifts, use them to glorify God. Praise Him regularly for what He has given you. Say thank you for what He has done, not just in the past and present, but also for what is still to come. Don't just make a living, make a difference. Don't be the one that has the knowledge and does nothing with it. Over the years, I have seen far too many of my fellow PE teachers become overweight and unhealthy. Knowing how to live is not enough. We must rise up and live what we know. Why would my students believe or even listen to me talk about the need for exercise and good nutrition if I'm unwilling to train and work on my own fitness? The same principle applies to anyone who claims to be a Christian and acknowledges Jesus with their lips, then walks out the door and denies Him by their lifestyle. When we claim to follow Jesus, but choose to act through our own selfish desires, it not only hurts us, but turns people away from experiencing a real relationship with Him. We like it or not, people are watching, making choices because of our behavior. Use your influence to aid the lives of the people around you. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." If I'm going to seriously train, I have to stop eating the donuts, get off the couch, and go for a run. Anyone that has ever participated in a race or any other athletic event knows that to do well, we have to train. Training takes effort, discipline. Our lives are no different. This race that we are training for and simultaneously living does not always fit our own tendencies. Over the last year, I trained for a full-distance triathlon called Ironman. I know that my body has limits, and I would be unable to sustain a typical Ironman training plan. So after hours of research, I changed some lifestyle habits and began to train. I had to be very intentional about every workout that I did. Every training session had to be intentional and focused on a specific goal. It was not always easy to convince myself that I should go out and on a run when I could see the temperature was dropping down to the single digits and the snow was beginning to fly. But every time I went out, I knew that I was preparing for a race that was coming. It's easy to make excuses in life why we don't need to do something that at the time seems small and insignificant. But what many people so easily forget is that the challenges make us stronger. Not just physically, but also mentally. People would ask, why would I do such a thing? And look at me like I'm crazy. But I just smile back and laugh because I know my why. I wanted to finish an Ironman. Most people don't understand why anyone would want to swim 2.4 miles, ride a bike for 116 miles, and then go for a 26.2 mile marathon. But I knew why. I wanted my girls to see and know what it looks like to keep fighting, even when things don't go their way, and to keep working, even if it does not feel like it's making any difference. Just after sunrise on September 29, the cannons fired and we jumped into the water. I began to swim. Some of the athletes were really fast and some not as fast, but we all had the same goal, to do our best. All swimming in the same direction, we transitioned from the swim to the bike and continued on our way. As the miles went by and the temperature climbed, the race became difficult. People started to break down. For some, their bodies were telling them it was over. I would see people lying on the side of the road with their bikes in the ditch because they could no longer ride. I also overheard people telling each other they were going to quit at the next aid station. And part of me felt like it would be a reasonable solution to how I was feeling at the time. But then I would remember my reason why. The high temperatures made it impossible for me to keep up with my hydration plans, and I was forced to start the marathon depleted of food and water. I could walk, but as soon as I started to run, my legs would immediately seize up like rocks. So I walked. As the time went by, my hydration improved. I ran when I could. I walked when running was no longer possible. For some, the pain and difficulty was no longer worth the effort, and they would stop. Unable to finish, out of the race. As we live our lives and come to terms with the difficulties we face, whatever they may have been, it prepares us for the challenges still to come. It takes a long time to cover 144.6 miles. But during the times where doubt would creep in, it was quickly chased out by the realization that I was in the midst of running an Ironman. And that my girls, well, they were watching what it looked like to overcome obstacles. And nothing was going to stop me. If you are tired, and part of your mind tells you that you have done enough, it is almost impossible to take another step. Silence the weakness in you. Don't question if you can do it, but rather know that you will. Push forward one step at a time until you succeed. Never lose grasp on the hope that God has put inside of you. Do you know your why for the life you're living? Life is a race or a battle, depending on what we're going through at the time. Either way, we need to train. How is your training going? If we sit idle and do nothing, we will stumble and fall with the finish line in sight, but never cross it. Changing the way we choose to live our lives is not easy. When life feels like a useless grind, then I'm going to grind. I'm going to work, even if I don't see the results. I will do everything in my power. I will not quit. I will press forward, and I will do whatever it takes to be the victor and not the victim. Sometimes life demands that we take on challenges. Are you willing to pay the price? Pain, sweat, tears, they're part of our life. What will happen when you are tested? Yes, your limits will be tested. It's not comfortable. Don't give in to the immediate gratification that's whispering in your ear to take the easier path. Stay strong. Don't listen to the little voice saying you have done enough. The struggle will make us stronger. Go through the motions, lift the burdens, and climb the mountain of doubt. Get out of bed. By going through the motion, you stay on the path, the right path, the disciplined path, the path that when you open your eyes, you know you are where you're supposed to be. I'm a believer in being uncomfortable. We often do everything in our power to be comfortable, in our mind, our bodies. There's no growth in comfort. We are not challenging ourselves to become better. We're falling if we're not. Keep moving forwards. There's no longer a battle in the mind. Once the mind knows, you're not going to quit. It will find a way. Romans 5, 3 through 4 puts it this way. We also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Because God is with you all of the time, no place is closer to God than where you are right now. In this race that we call life, sometimes we fall down and don't feel like we have the strength to get back up. So we put on a mask and pretend we are okay. Maybe you have doubt about what lies in your future and it scares you. Or maybe you are worried about what people think about you, or maybe what they say about you. Fear paralyzes and stops us from living. Do you have hope? Do you keep trying to get up? It's not the end until you have chosen not to get back up. You have a choice to give up or keep going. Give up or get up. When you fail, try to get up again and never lose hope. When life cuts deep, try to remember you're not alone. We have all been there. Scars come from living. It doesn't matter who you are, this life is going to leave some battle scars. The young must know it, the old must know it, because greatness comes not when things always go well for you, but when you get tested, when you take on some knocks and some disappointments, when sadness comes, because only when you have been in the deepest valley can you ever know how significant and magnificent it can be on the highest mountain. Always remember how you got there and encourage others to join you. We all fall down in life. What will you do? Are you going to get back up? Do you see others around you struggling? Help them. Yes, I still have cancer. No, I'm not finished fighting. I don't know how much is left in my fight, but I do know that while I train for my race, like you, I have the responsibility to bring others with me and introduce them to my Jesus so that we can know that there is more, so that we can experience more. We are all alive, but are you truly living? I will always hear the clock ticking. When the end comes, can we say, as it says in our text for today, in Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Remember your yesterdays, dream your tomorrows, but live your todays. In our midst. Thank you for being a part of our lives, and help us to have the strength to share you with the people around us so that they can experience you like we have. Thank you for being with us. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.